to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. That's where we're going to start off. And yes, the children are dismissed to awake at this time. But James chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 5 to 10. That's where we're going to start off. Then we're going to go to Isaiah, and then we're going to be all over the place. The title for this message is Resisting Gossip. Few people this week, they asked me, Pastor, what are you preaching on? And I just kind of gut reaction, I said, gossip. And they didn't say anything, but then later on when more people asked, I changed it a little. I said, resisting gossip. We don't need a sermon on gossip. We need a sermon on resisting gossip. So James chapter 3, we'll start in verse 5, the second part of verse 5. It says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Have you ever stopped to think about how amazing the gift of language really is? The fact that we can communicate with one another. The fact that I can stand up here and I can use words and you can understand what those words mean and the ideas that are being conveyed. It's a remarkable gift of God. And I think for the most part, we just take it for granted. We just assume it because it's really all we've ever known. I mean, of course, there was that time when we were babies and toddlers where we couldn't speak, but we just take it for granted. I don't think we can really appreciate it unless it's taken away. But with that gift, this remarkable gift, we know that the tongue, we know that our words can be dangerous. Like we just read in James chapter 3, the tongue can be a world of fire. It can be a deadly poison. And I want to look at another verse before we really dive in. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. This is a passage we've looked at before. It's the vision that Isaiah receives of the Lord. And it's a heavenly vision. He gets a little glimpse of heaven. We'll start in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. So Isaiah has this vision of Almighty God. He's given this glimpse into the throne room of heaven. And he hears the angels, the seraphim, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And you know what's so interesting? There's many things that are interesting, but one thing that just fascinates me is the fact that when he sees God in all his glory, he also sees himself. And what does he point to? His mouth. "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." Friends, today we're going to talk about the tongue. We're going to talk about this world of evil as the Bible describes it. And this is just the tongue, and our words, of course, are vast. There's many aspects. We're just going to look at one aspect this morning, and that is gossip. We all know that gossip is bad. We know it's sinful. We know it can be hurtful to people. We know it can be divisive. We know that gossip can be toxic. What I think most of us don't realize is how often we participate in gossip. It's so common, so widespread, we don't even realize we're doing it. And yes, I'm speaking of Christians. Of course, the world does it. But we do too. So the sin of gossip is real. It's a serious problem. And that's why we're looking at it this morning. Now, the big question is, what is gossip? What is gossip? We have to define it if we're going to understand it. And so I want us to start off with a dictionary definition. We're going to go to Scripture, of course. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs. But here's a dictionary definition. Casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Okay, so these reports, which have to do with other people, are assumed to be true. Even if they're unconfirmed, they're assumed. So that's a helpful part. In some ways, that definition is not all that helpful, but it is helpful in the sense that people take a report, something they've heard, and they assume that it's true. Here's another definition. This is from Jerry Bridges. He wrote a book called Respectable Sins. And in one of the chapters, which I will quote from, he looks at the tongue, sins of the tongue. Here's what he writes. "Gossip is the spreading of unfavorable information about someone else, even if the information is true." So it could be true. He continues, "However, gossip is often based on rumor, which makes the sin even worse." So it's the spreading of unfavorable information about someone else, or maybe even a group of people. Now, a friend of mine wrote a book on gossip. His name is Matt Mitchell. He pastors the Lance Evangelical Free Church. And we used to, when I lived in Snowshoe, we used to meet up at the truck stop. He would come to our truck stop, or I would go to his truck stop. So we got to know one another well. But he wrote a book called Resisting Gossip. Here's how he defines gossip. "Sinful gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart." Let me read that again. "Bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart." So that's the definition that we're going to be working from today. And we need to unpack it if we're going to understand it. So bearing bad news. This is pretty obvious. The news that's being spread, that's being shared, is not good news. It's bad news. It reflects negatively on that person's character. It's something that they themselves would not want to be shared. "Did you hear that so-and-so left his wife? That's what we're talking about here. Maybe that's an extreme example, but just so you understand what we're getting at. So that's the first part. Behind someone's back. Now this news, this bad news, is being circulated behind that person's back. Often the person has no clue. They have no knowledge that anything's being spread. Now eventually they might hear about it, but not initially. So it's not up front. It's secret. It's behind someone's back. Lastly, out of a bad heart. Now, where does gossip emerge from? Where does it come from? It always emerges from a bad heart. And Jesus pinpoints the heart problem in one of his teachings in Matthew's gospel. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. I'll give you a moment to turn there. So the point here is that gossip doesn't just come from nowhere. It emerges from the heart. Here's what Jesus says. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So again, the words that come out of our mouths, and they are many, they don't come forth from a vacuum of nothingness. The words that we speak emerge from our hearts, and the condition of our hearts will determine whether we speak good or evil. So again, that is our working definition. Sinful gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Now, there's one book of the Bible that stands alone when it comes to understanding the nature of gossip. We want to look at the whole of Scripture, but we want to go especially to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at just a few verses. One of them is on the front of your bulletin. We'll get to that one, Proverbs 18. But look at Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Here's what it says. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So this is what I was talking about at the beginning when we looked at James chapter 3. Words can be deadly. They can be like sword thrusts. Now, let me make a general statement. We talk too much. And I'm not just talking about our church. I'm not just talking about Christians. I'm talking about people. We talk way too much. There are, of course, those who are quiet. They're slow to speak. But on the whole, we are a talking bunch. And when you talk a lot, there's bound to be rash words. You're going to say things that you didn't really think through. It's going to happen. What does the Bible say about this? We know what it says in Proverbs, but go back to James, James 1:9. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James is kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament. He's got these short statements. They're filled with wisdom and insight, and that is one of them. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Friends, this is what we should be striving for. This is what we want. Now, gossip is just the opposite. It's being quick to speak. Now, that's not to say it's not premeditated, but oftentimes you speak without giving much thought. It's being careless with your words. Here's another verse from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Friends, whenever we speak, we need to remember that God is in heaven and we're down here on earth, and everything that we say, God hears, God knows. And the conclusion that Solomon comes to is that we should let our words be few. And we would save ourselves a lot of trouble if we simply followed that verse from Ecclesiastes and James 1:9 and others like it. Now, going back to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So when we do speak, we want our words to be life-giving. We want to speak with truth and wisdom. The tongue is very dangerous. We all know that. It can be a weapon. And as Christians, we should want to choose our words wisely and carefully. Here's another one, Proverbs 18:8. This is the one that's on the front of the bulletin. And by the way, it's the exact same verse as Proverbs 26:22. So it's repeated. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Now, it's interesting when you start to compare the other translations, how this is translated in multiple translations. But I like the ESV. Gossip is kind of like whispering. You know, go back to our definition. It's bad news behind someone's back. So it's not something that is shouted. It's something that is whispered. And we all know that gossip spreads quickly. And that's kind of the second part of the verse. Why is that? Because it's delicious. It's tasty. It's attractive. It appeals to us. And we need to pause and ask the question, the why question. Why are we attracted to it? Why do we listen to it? What's the appeal? Well, you go back to Matthew chapter 12, and you better understand it. It springs from a bad heart. Now, that's not to say an unredeemed heart, but it does indicate that there are heart problems. Christians can gossip. Christians do gossip. Gossip happens here at Pine Glen. Now, the reasons for gossip, the reasons why a person engages in gossip, again, they're vast, they're varied. We're not going to get into that today, at least in a comprehensive way. But in certain cases, a person has been truly hurt. They've been wronged. They've been sinned against. And I don't want to minimize that. But here's what you need to know. Gossip is never the right way to respond. Never. Let's go back to Jerry Bridges. Give a quote from him. Indulging in gossip seems to feed our sinful ego, especially when the information we are passing along is negative. It makes us feel self-righteous by comparison. And then there are those times when we disguise our gossip as, I want to share this with you for your prayers. He goes on, if we know something negative about someone, we should pray about it, but we should not spread around the bad news. So he's right. Yes, we should pray, but we don't spread the news, the bad news. And he's also right to say that sometimes gossip feeds our sinful ego. It makes us feel good about ourselves. After all, we're not the ones that are messed up. We're not like them. We're not doing what they're doing. Now, here's another question. What do we do in place of gossip? We know that if we're going to stop gossiping, we need to replace it with something. Well, again, the Bible and the words of Jesus are instructive. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Here's what Jesus says. Very important text. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So notice there, it doesn't say just ignore the sin, don't worry about it, let it go. There is a process here. If your brother sins against you, you go to him. But it's very clear, Jesus is very clear, you go between you and him alone. You don't create some coalition. You don't tell everyone else and then go and talk to him. No, you go to him alone. And if that doesn't work, well, then there's another whole process that you follow there. So again, you don't go to everyone else and tell them how you've been wronged. You go to him alone. And be honest, you know, tell them that you were hurt. You were wronged. Talk it out. Seek forgiveness. Seek reconciliation. But don't tell everyone else. And I've touched on this a little, but let me make it crystal clear, because this is important. If you have a problem, even just a concern with someone else, go talk to them. Go talk to them. Oftentimes we ignore the person and we go to everyone else. And then we end up dragging down their name. Friends, that's not the biblical way to deal with things. If you have a problem with me, please come and talk to me. If you have a problem with one of the elders, go and talk to them. If you have an issue with anyone in the church or outside the church, talk to them. Friends, that's the only way that we can have healthy, mutually encouraging relationships that honor God. It's the only way. And if there is a problem, that's the only way that you can find reconciliation. And you just read through the Bible and it's all about reconciliation. And it starts with us being reconciled to a holy God. That's where it starts, but that's certainly not where it ends. We need to be reconciled to one another at times. Here's another proverb. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Now, I actually like how the NIV translates this. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Have you heard about so-and-so? You're not going to believe what she did this time. Guess what I heard today? You better watch out. Somebody told me what he's been up to. These are all intros that we've heard before. And they're a telltale sign of gossip. When you hear that, you know something's up. And we learn from this proverb that the gossip reveals secrets. Perhaps something was shared in confidence. It wasn't meant to be passed along, but now it's being shared. And it's gaining momentum. It becomes bad news in motion. It goes from one person to the next, and so on. And our verse makes it clear, don't associate with someone like that. Proverbs 11:13, similar but slightly different. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. So that's the similar part. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. So there's the contrast. The gossip reveals secrets, while the person who is trustworthy keeps a thing covered. They're reliable. And friends, if something is shared in confidence, we want to be trustworthy. We want to be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We want to be that shoulder to cry on. We want them to share and to open up. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another. But we don't go and blab. We want to help them and not hinder them. So let me ask you, can people trust you when they share something with you? Do they have that security, that confidence that it's not going to be shared with other people? Can people trust you? Well, here's another question, and maybe this is the biggest question of all. How do we resist gossip? We know that gossip will happen. How do we resist it? How do we slow the spread of gossip? It would be really easy for me just to stand up here and say, stop it. You know, quit doing that. But it's more complicated than that. It's deeper than that. And let me just give you a few biblical principles that will help in this, that will slow the spread of gossip. Number one, shut things down before it actually happens. So you're part of a conversation. You can see where things are going. Maybe there was one of those intros that I shared with you. You know that a person is bearing bad news from a bad heart. What do? Well, you ask them in a polite way to stop. You ask them to stop. And even if the gossip ball is already rolling, you can still step in. You can still step in a kind and gentle way and ask him or her to stop sharing. Simply say, I don't think you need to be sharing that with me. Or you could ask, why are you sharing this with me? What do you want me to do about this? If the person you were speaking against were here, would you be saying this? That's something to think about. So this is an important step. And I know that there's not many of us here who like to confront one another. But sometimes we need to speak the truth in love. Gossip is something that can be toxic. And we need to do all that we can to stop the spread of it. And sometimes confrontation, hard as it may be, is necessary. So that's the first option. Just shut things down. Stop them dead in their tracks. Second scenario, it's a little different. Because in this scenario, the gossip or the bad news has already been communicated to you. Maybe it wasn't your intention, but now you have this information. What do you do with it? How do you handle it? Clearly, it reflects negatively on another person. Maybe it's a friend of yours, someone you know. What do you do? Well, the first thing is pretty obvious. You don't share it. You don't share it. Instead, go to the person it's against and simply say, hey, I've heard this about you. I don't know if it's true, but I want to ask you, I want to inquire. And again, you have to use your discretion because maybe it's best not to share with them. There's another helpful proverb. It's also from chapter 18. Proverbs 18, 17. It goes like this. The one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him. That's true, isn't it? I mean, it's scripture, so we know it's true, but think about that. There's always two sides to a story, and when someone gives their side, you think they're right. They're convincing. And how often do we hear something that reflects negatively on another person, and we just assume that it's true? And maybe it is true. But maybe it's only part of the truth. And it was shared in such a way that reflects negatively on that person because it's not the whole truth. But we hear something, we assume it's true, we start to whisper and talk, and eventually it turns into gossip. That's how it works. So when you're on the receiving end of gossip, whatever you do, don't share it. Don't spread it. As I said, it may be appropriate to contact the person and say, this is what I heard. Is there any truth to this? This is what the rumor mill is churning out, and I just need to ask you. So that's the second scenario. The second thing that's going to help slow the spread of gossip. Number three, and you're not surprised I'm going to say this, pray. Pray. We're the people of God. We are to be a praying people. And one way that you can pray is simply ask God to give you a bad taste for gossip. That it would leave that bad taste in your heart. And if this is a heart problem, then ask God to change your heart. So you can pray about it in the church, in our church, in other churches. You can pray about it in your own heart. And the neat thing is, as you grow in your walk with the Lord, this is naturally going to happen. The closer you get to God, the less you're going to want to be involved in gossip. It will leave that bad taste. So pray that we would be a church where healthy relationships flourish and grow and are nurtured. Pray that we, when we speak, that we would seek to build up one another in the Lord. So we want to be a praying church. We don't want to be a gossiping church. We want to be a church that calls upon the name of the Lord. We want to be a church that's hungry for God, that's thirsty for God, not a gossiping church, a slandering church. That's the last thing we want. Number four, avoid the company of known gossips. Here's what it says in Proverbs 17 and verse 4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. So what is that proverb saying? Well, plain and simple, there are those that are not seeking the good of others. They're really not. Even brothers and sisters in Christ, they don't want to build them up. They don't want to strengthen them. They want to tear them down. And Solomon, the author of Proverbs, he provides a simple solution. What do? You avoid them. Stay away from them. Here's another thing that we need to keep in mind. The listener will be held accountable too. So it's not just the gossiper. It's the one who gives him a listening ear. Friends, if you're constantly providing empathy for those that are gossiping, God will hold you accountable. You're at fault too. You're not loving your brother or your sister as you should. So number four, avoid the company of gossips. And then number five, maybe this is the most important one, repent. We need to repent. What if the gossip is me? What if the gossip is you? I would be surprised if there was a person here who said, I can honestly say that I've never engaged in gossip. I'd be surprised. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's unlikely. You might remember the story of the woman caught in adultery. She was brought to Jesus, and of course, she was just a pawn. The religious leaders, they wanted to trap Jesus. But you remember what he said to them? I just love his confrontations with the religious leaders because he always has a way of shutting them down. And he said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to cast the stone. And you remember what happened. No one cast a stone. Not one. They all left. So friends, let's not be self-deceived. Let's not be self-righteous. Here's what it says in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, that should be our prayer. That should be our desire. This is a situation where we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to confess our sin. And again, I'm not saying that every one of you is guilty here. But I do know we're all sinners. And if you have engaged in gossip, do your best to make things right. That's what repentance is all about. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of life. And we need to be careful that we're not looking around the room, thinking about all the people that need to hear this, all the while ignoring ourselves. Now, having said that, there are those who are prone to gossip. This is a real stronghold in their life. They make a habit of it. And so when Scripture talks about gossips and busybodies, it's not just talking about everyone in general. It's talking about a particular group of people who consistently engage in this behavior. They have a propensity toward it. And if that's you, then you need to take a sober look at your life. You need to be humble and honest before God. Well, friends, there's a lot more that I could say on that, but we've looked at the negative side of things. How not to engage in gossip, how to resist gossip. What about the positive side of things? How should we treat one another in the body of Christ? And I can think of no better passage than Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29-32. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. And obviously gossip fits in that category. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And then he says in verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Friends, what kind of speech, what kind of language should be coming out of our mouths? Only that which is good for building up. Only that which gives grace to those who hear. So by all means, spread good news about others. And feel free to do it behind their back. Build them up. Not participating in gossip doesn't mean we don't say anything at all about people. It just means that what we do say is positive, it's encouraging, it's edifying, it springs from a heart of love. Now, here's another thing, and I realize there's so many scenarios, we can't cover it all. But when gossip does happen, and it will, when someone sins against us in that way, what do? We forgive them. Maybe we need to confront them. Maybe it's a Matthew 18 kind of situation. But we must forgive them. We must follow the example of Christ. Friends, we're never more like God than when we forgive. Never more like our Creator, like our Savior. And we talked about this the last couple weeks in 1 Peter chapter 2. When Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. In other words, he forgave. So we don't say, "How dare you say that behind my back? How dare you gossip? Who do you think you are?" That's not our approach. So if gossip has hurt you, if gossip has negatively impacted you, choose to forgive. Follow the example of Jesus. Entrust yourself to the one who judges justly, Almighty God. And don't turn around and gossip behind their back. Friends, as we close, let me point you to one more scripture. And once again, this highlights the example of Christ. We don't serve a Savior that hasn't lived, that hasn't experienced or gone through what we go through on a day-to-day basis. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Friends, I want you to know that you can resist the temptation to gossip. You don't have to give in to that temptation. You don't have to gossip. Yes, it can be powerful at times, especially if you're surrounded by those who are prone to gossip, but you don't have to engage in that behavior. And the reason for that is very simple. It's because of Jesus. It's because of our great high priest. When Jesus was tempted over and over, he always resisted that temptation. Even when he was tempted by Satan himself, he resisted firm in his faith. So friends, Jesus will provide the way of escape. He will give you more grace. He will give you all that you need. So there is deliverance in Jesus' name. Be encouraged. And let me close with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And this is my prayer for Pine Glen. I trust that this is your prayer, that God would bring us together, that God would unify us as a body. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have not left us in the dark with any matter of importance your word has spoken to. And we just thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, this is a tough issue. We all know that. We struggle at times. But we want to be a healthy church. We want to be a biblical church. We want to be a people that honor you in every way, including our words, the very words that come out of our mouths. So would you give us much grace? Help us to resist gossip in every way that we possibly can. Lord, we need you. We can't do this in our own strength. Holy Spirit, have your way. Build this church, strengthen us, and may we rejoice in you. Amen.
Please take your hymnal.